The Remarkable People Podcast. Check it out. The Remarkable People Podcast. Listen, do, repeat. For life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's remarkable episode of the podcast. Today, we're hanging out with Charlene Norman. Charlene's life is remarkable, and she's going to take us through her journey. However, we get so excited and we jump into so many topics and her six steps to winning that we actually forget a giant chunk of her life and we have to go backwards to hear it. So this isn't the most organized podcast, and that's my fault. However, it is packed with power. It's great for not just the new professional working themselves through corporate life. It's not just for the existing professional looking to grow and hit that next level, but it's great for all aspects of life. Because like Charlene and I discuss, it's not about this little compartmentalized area. All of life, all truth, everything that works comes from God and has the same foundational steps. So you're going to hear from Charlene, how she grew up, how she always wanted to win the lottery, yet she never bought a lottery ticket. But then she learned how to grow as a person, how to be successful, how to help others become successful. And then she gets hit with a crazy, crazy virus, bacteria. I can't remember what it was considered, but she's in a coma for a week, wakes up, had a stroke, and it helped her to reevaluate her life and ultimately connect us today. So in this episode, you're not just going to get Charlene's remarkable story, but you're actually getting a lot more of applicable life and business advice. So get your pen and paper ready, take good notes, and like our slogan says, don't just listen, but do what you hear, repeat it each day so you can have a great life in this world and an eternity to come. So I'm David Pasqualone, and let's enjoy this interview together with our friend, Charlene Norman. Hey, Charlene, how are you today?
I am terrific, David. How are you?
Man, I'm fantastic. Remarkable even. So I just told all our audience about you and what to expect in this episode, and they are pumped like I am. So let us not waste any time. Can you please share with us your story? You can start all the way back through childbirth, going through chronologically up to where we are today. And then at that point, we'll transition into where is Charlene and where are you going? So then hopefully after you've helped us for an hour, we can help you get to your next goal. Sound good?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great.
So go back in your life, start off wherever you want, and just let us know, you know, who is Charlene? What, how did God use circumstances to form you and grow you? And then please share with us, you know, what you overcame, what you achieved, what you suffered and had to, you know, face, and then the practical steps of how you overcame it. So we can too. Easy, right?
It's so easy. Yes. And here's the best part. I can't remember what it was like when I was a baby. So we don't have to go back that far.
No, that's it. We just want to know, like, basically where you were born. And if you, some people like my story, it starts in my childhood, you know, but for some people they have like what they consider a quote unquote normal childhood. Everything's great. So just go through the basics and bring us through today.
So I am Canadian. I am your Canuck guest. I was born in a little tiny town of 10,000. And I had a happy childhood. For all intents and purposes, it was all happy. Nothing too out of the ordinary happened. I had, from the time I was about 10, I started thinking about becoming independent. Now, who at 10 does this kind of stuff, but starts plotting out, okay, when I leave home, I'm going to have to pay for rent. I'm going to have to pay for this. I'm going to have to pay for that. So I spent a lot of my time from 10 until about 18 figuring out how I was going to pay for things, which is absolutely crazy for a young girl of 10 years old. But when I was 20, I had a most amazing fantasy. And that fantasy was I wanted to win the $25 million lottery. Now, everybody wants this, right? Here's the problem. You can't win a lottery if you don't buy lottery tickets. And I've never bought a lottery ticket in my entire life, but I've always had this fantasy of winning $25 million. And what was I going to do with it? $1 million was going to go to my retirement, and $24 million I was going to put into a fund, and I was going to give it away at incredibly wonderful interest rates and incredibly flexible terms to any business owner who required it. The only caveat was the business owner needed me to be on his or her advisory board. Now, this all sounds really cool, except I was 20 years old. I had not started my career at that point. I had no education. And I don't know about you, but I don't know any 20-year-old who has the kahunas, let alone the experience, to talk to business owners and advise them on anything. So not having a desire to go out and buy a lottery ticket, you can see that I already had two steps against me. So with that background, I'll just say the next 30 years were spent basically getting the experience necessary to advise all business owners. And I left the small town. I moved to the big city. I got myself onto the treadmill and I made it all the way up to the top. When I say I made it all the way up to the top, I was fortunate enough to have a whole pile of giants to stand on their shoulders so that I ultimately could be the person who was the grand poobah of companies that were between the size of $35 million in revenue and approaching $1 billion in revenue. I was the, the buck stops here. I'm not thrilled. Sure, you can say you're proud of doing that kind of stuff, but that wasn't me. Who I was still the person I was at 20 years old, wanting to help business owners make their mark. I learned how to make millionaires in my career. It was nothing for me to figure out, okay, if we make this more money this way, this can fall to the bottom line. You can grab this. Here's how we do this. So finding a better way, finding a different way, making a difference was super easy for me my entire career. I would say on or about 50 years old, I said, fine, I'm going off and I'm going to go do my own thing. And I did pretty good. I found some companies who needed help. I helped them. But then life kind of got in the way. The universe said, well, we have other things for you, dear. We're going to give you a viral infection. And that viral infection was streptococcal meningitis, which has the delightful, delightful objective of starving your body of all the oxygen. So your spine and your brain are effectively starved of that wonderful H2O factor, which basically means you have seizures and strokes. And if it's not caught in time, you're dead. I woke up one day, 7 years ago, in a hospital. My husband was beside me and he said to me, honey, I'm so delighted that you're awake now. You've been sleeping. And don't worry, you're in the hospital and you've had a stroke and I'm now going to go tell the doctor that you're awake. Well, he lied to me. What I didn't know was I had been in a coma for a week. I'm not going to say that I'm special and that whatever happened to me was terrific, amazing, spellbinding. But for me, it was a big deal. But I just want to stop and say, every single one of us humans is going to lose their job or lose their marriage or lose somebody very, very important to them because that person died, or they're going to be felled by some kind of awful illness or disease. I don't care who you are. We are all going to have it, what I call, when life just delivers us the worst possible lemons. Some of us are strong. Some of us are weak. Some of us find out how strong we are. Others of us find out how weak we are. But we're all going to have that one or two moments in our lives when our worlds are completely turned upside down. And the awful part of it is we never learned any of it in school. We never learned any of it in work. We never have had any coping lessons. And suddenly we're cast in what I call adrift in a boat going, now what the hell do I do? So if it's okay with you, David, I would like to talk about what the hell it was that I did, because I thought it was special, but I later found out that no, this is how the smart business people, the elite athletes, and the best people who get to the top of their game or are at the top of their game actually think and act.
Yeah, 100%. That's why we're here. I mean, I got a bunch of questions already, but keep going and we'll go back and go through all the questions.
So I'm lying in the hospital and I did not believe my husband. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to medical stuff. But what I had was a vision in my head, and that vision was two letters. N-O, no, I am not. I am not disabled. This stroke business, no way. I am not going to leave the vaulted position of being the number one breadwinner in the family because some silly little bug decided to come into my body. I am going to beat this. So the reason I'm sharing this piece with you first is any time in my life, in my entire career, I set myself a goal and I would put a picture in my head of what that goal meant. And it didn't matter what the picture was. I knew what the picture meant to me. And so that kept me focused to keep on moving. And I'll be perfectly honest, there were years when I didn't have a picture in my head or a vision of what I wanted to do. And frankly, nothing really exciting happened in those times. But in the times that I had a picture in my head, I never failed to meet my dream. I never failed to surpass what I had set myself up for. And I'm not bragging. It was what I wanted or better at all times, but I had to take the first step of planting that picture. And this is what I say to all of my clients, all business owners, all people, if you want something, put that picture in your head, because then it's always front and center. You know what you're focused on and you just keep on going. Now, the only thing I had was, no, I am fine. And I just kept that in my head until I was fine. So there were six things that I did. And as I say, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist. But what I did was I took everything that I had ever learned to be successful in business, and I had helped everyone else, and I turned it on myself. So the six levels, I'll just tell you really quickly, are: number one, make a decision. Number two is grab your energy. Number three is ask yourself a bunch of questions. Number four is focus. And number five is take action. Number six, I'm sorry, is take action. So make a decision, grab your energy, get very clear, ask yourself some questions, focus in and take action. Those are the six steps. And now I'll just break it down and make it a little bit more less theoretical and a little bit more practical. So I'm lying in the hospital and I've got two options. I can lie in the hospital forever, or I can get off my behind and do something. I'm not perfect. I'm like every other human being. So I'm very good having a pity party. So I had a pity party for a day. Having a pity party is kind of a waste of exercise for me, but it made me feel better. So the one after that day passed, I thought, I'm going for it. I don't care what's going to happen. I know better than everyone else. I'm going to do this. So in business, the smart business people know they have to launch a product. They have to hire or fire. They have to buy or sell a business. There are no halfway measures for anyone in business. There are no halfway measures for the elites who decide they are going to go to the top. They're either in it or they're not in it. So you're in it 100% or it's zero. And it's really important, I think, to make that distinction. You're in it to win, whatever win means, and there's no halfway measures. So that's the first step. Was that clear?
Yes, very much so. 100%.
Okay. So after you've made the decision that this is what we're going to do or not, then you want to get very smart about pulling in your energy. A favorite way to pull in energy is to look around and see who has things worse than I do. Now, that may sound a little silly, but what that does is it forces me to look at what I actually have and say, man, I am really lucky. A lot of folks call that finding gratitude. I don't. I look at it as just taking stock of what I have and knowing that my energy is it going to be filled up, and it's going to be filled up because I look around the world and I say, well, they don't have what I have, and I may not have what those people over there have, but I'm still coming out ahead of the game. So what does that mean? It means that I spent a few hours in my hospital bed listening to the other patients in the ward. And I listened to people whose tongue was stuck to the roof of their mouth. I listened to people who couldn't move out of their beds. I listened to people ring the bell and have to wait for the nurses to come and take them to a shower or to go to the bathroom. And I realized that, well, I can stand up. The walls need a lot of support these days, so I can help the walls stand tall. I can go, that means that I can move myself no matter how slowly across the room to open up the drapes to see the outside. That means I can go and walk to the bathroom by myself. I can take a shower by myself. I am really lucky. I am way better than all these other people that I'm hearing. I'm not seeing them, I'm hearing them. Also, the fact that my brain cells are totally screwed up doesn't matter. I can still think. And for those people who are patient enough with me, I can still talk to them. It may not make much sense, but they're patient with me. I'm okay. I'm going to do this. And so what you do is you build up your energy reserves. So in business, what that means is you look at how far you've come. You take stock of your successes. You don't focus on your weaknesses. You take stock of what you've done. Now, it could be that you've moved mountains to get where you are. It could mean that, yeah, you might have had some late nights, but you're seeing the beginnings of some profit. Or it could also mean that you spent 10 or 15 years buried in your business, and it's about time to come up and smell the roses and say, you know what? It's pretty darn good what I've created here, what my team and I have actually moved my vision. So it's very important really important to pull up your energy reserves. Why do I say that? Because you're setting yourself up for a very long path. You don't know how long that path is going to be. You don't know the time frame, and you don't know how hard it is, which means you want to come out of the gate filled with emotional energy. The third step is the clarity piece.
Actually, can I ask you, I want to go back because I have so many questions about your personal life. And then now we're getting to these practical steps. So we can wait on the personal life, but I want to dig into these steps while we're going through. So the first thing you talk about, make a decision.
Yes.
So you went through your life and you helped companies running a company, running your own organization, or running your personal life. It's like a house, a shed, or a mansion. All the same foundation, all the same steps, just a different scale.
Yes.
So when you're setting goals, the first step was to decide what you wanted. And then you were going to, at this point, move to step two is grab energy. But when you're getting this energy for the young professional who doesn't have those experiences yet, or for the person who's really self-deprecating, has a bad self-image, for those people who have achieved great things, but they perceive themselves as a loser or trash, how do you talk to those people to get that initial energy?
First off, none of us came into this world imperfect. We all came into this world perfect. We all came into this world with gifts and talents. Those gifts and talents are ours to discover. If you're a young person, you haven't discovered them all yet. And that's a normal thing. And you will discover what you're made of. You will discover what lights you up. You will discover what you're good at. You can start by looking at what you are good at. And even if you're 20 years old, there's something you're good at. We all have that. Focus in on that because that's what brings you pleasure. That's what brings you joy. So the whole thing, I may be a little different than other people, but I believe all of us humans are here for joy. Give joy, receive joy, be joy. Now, and that's a weird thing coming from somebody who's been a hot and heavy and very hard-nosed business person. I know it doesn't make any sense, but that's just me. I believe we all came here in perfect form, and we have everything we need to cultivate the life that we want. What we need to focus on is what makes us happy. One thing that all humans take, most humans, not, okay, so maybe 99.9% humans, take a lot of joy from is helping others, being of service to others. And the reason I say that is when you're helping someone else in their horrible life, it helps you feel so much better about your own life. So if you want energy, you want to find energy, find people who could use your help. That's the easiest way to do it. That may sound a little bit hokey, but joy moves freely. Joy is just an energy, and it's our responsibility to move that energy through one another and make it the best that we can for our own lives. Does that make sense, David?
Yes, absolutely. I want to reframe my question a little bit, though. What you're saying and trying to get that young professional or the person who has low confidence, if they don't have, let's say, here's their goal, here's where they are, if they don't have previous successes that they can think of in their professional life, do you recommend they look at successes in other areas of their life?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so human beings have had this ridiculous idea that our only worth, our only image of ourselves is this big money-making, successful, whatever person. We have all, every single human being I've ever met with has fallen into the trap of, I'm only as good as the money that I make. I'm only as good as the title that I wear. I'm only as good as the company that I work for. I'm worth nothing when I'm 20. I'm worth gazillions when I'm 40. And at 60 or 70, you're over the hill. Okay, so that is wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. It's an old mentality that It's just wrong. Every human being has an identity that is not what they work for. It's what you live for. So when I say you were born with certain talents and skills, what I'm referring to is they're buried in your DNA. And as you're a child or as a teenager or as a university student, you may not be aware exactly of what those things are, but for example, if you play a musical instrument, if you make friends very easily, if you love playing chess, or if you like playing computer games with your buddies or whatever, you learn that there are things that light you up. Well, those things that light you up have absolutely nothing to do with your work. They have everything to do with you personally. And it's those personal things that we always fall back on to get our energy. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with being on that track to be successful in our careers. What I want you to focus on is, how can you be successful in your personal life? And the easiest way that I can say you can be successful in your personal life is to pay attention to those things that bring you joy. And one really easy way to bring joy into your life, if you're unsure, is to help others, to be of service to others. Does that make a little bit more sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. So if we're looking at the steps, you're saying we make a decision of what we want. You know, Ben Stein said the indispensable first step in getting the things out you want out of life is this: decide what you want. You know, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. So everything you're saying lines up with the Bible, God's standard, and it lines up with reality we know. So that's great. Grabbing your energy is taking those past successes and the things you've achieved and saying, we're just going to do this again to a different scale. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's all it is.
Okay. And now get very clear. Talk about that step, step three.
So can I just make one other point?
Yeah, it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
About grabbing the energy. I don't care how old you are. Does not matter. As we move through life, we have a bunch of experiences that impact us. Some impact us negatively, some impact us positively. What I can promise you is those experiences as you get older. So say you're 20 or 25, if you compare yourself to when you were 10 or 15, those experiences have layered on one another. So when you're 25, what you don't think about, what you don't realize is you can be drawing on experiences from when you were 10, from when you were 12, from when you were 18. And the good news is if they were positive experiences, they are the pieces that make you stronger as you move along. So I just want to be clear, life doesn't start when you're 20. Life doesn't start when you reach the pinnacle of making, I don't know, $100,000. Life starts when you're born, and the experiences that you get layer on one upon another so that as you're moving along, you're becoming a better version of yourself. You're becoming the person that you're ultimately going to be. It's a journey. It's not a destination. Okay, so that was the last piece I wanted to talk about, energy. You'll be surprised at what you pull up that you've been through and you've said, oh, hell, I've passed on that one. I can do this. No problem. it becomes natural for all of us. We don't think about it. We've never really thought about that. So now to get clear, okay, what is it that I have? So going back to the hospital, what did I have? Well, I had a brain that I thought was working pretty good. It wasn't working at top notch, but it was working pretty good, which meant I could still plan. It meant I could still remember pieces of my life that I knew I could do. What does that mean? It means that I could do a list. I could do a list of what have I got going for me. I knew that I had personal discipline. I'm not perfect, but I knew that if I set my mind to it, I could make it happen. So that was a real big thing for me. I knew I had a very positive mindset so that if things came along, sure, I could get mad and I could swear like a sailor, but I get over it really, really quickly. I knew that I was basically a decent, kind person so that anyone I met always got a smile first. Now, those seem really small. I'll be the first to admit it. But I took those three things and I said, well, what can I do with that? And I moved to stage four. I'll also be honest with you. I was very clear about what I couldn't do. I couldn't run a marathon. It would take me 15 minutes to walk just a few feet. But I did not let that get me down. I didn't dwell on it because what I did was I focused on, well, here's the good things that I can do. Here's what I have. So let me put that now into a business context or a personal context. The fact that you don't have knowledge doesn't mean you're lacking. It just means you don't have knowledge. And it's easy to go and get that knowledge. And you can get that knowledge from many different places. The fact that you've got a brilliant idea and maybe the market's not ready for you, well, it just means the market's not ready for you. It means you take a very honest viewpoint and say, so I might not be able to do it in 6 months, but I might definitely have a good shot at it within 3 years. At 20 years old, you're saying, well, I don't have a lot. No, in experience, you don't. But if you have a lot of enthusiasm, if you have a lot of politeness, if you have a willingness to learn, if you have an ability that someone else doesn't have, those actually are amazing gifts that you can use moving forward. So what you want to do is just be really honest and say, what do I have? And if you say you have nothing, I'm going to say go back to the drawing board again, because you were born perfect. You were born with gifts and talents, and it's your personal side. It's your soft skills. It's your ability to communicate. It's your ability to get along. That's going to be the thing that moves you forward. It's not going to be what you don't know. It's going to be your ability to make friends, get along with people, understand what people are going through, have a little bit of emotional intelligence. Be nice, be kind. Those things are going to rocket you to the top faster than you'll ever, ever believe. So if you're thinking you don't have anything, then think about your personality. What is it that people love about you? Because those things are the core of your being. Does that make sense, David?
Oh, 100%. And I think a lot of people struggle with, they hear the demons in their head, they hear the thoughts of the past, they hear, you stink, you're no good, you have no talent, you have no ability. And what you said is to go back and remember that, you know, God made you with a purpose and a plan and perfect, and you have gifts and abilities. You may have not discovered them yet, or you may be rejecting them, but they're there. So if you were to just kind of recap again, how do you discover and find those gifts? Because some people really are listening to you now and they are struggling to say, yeah, I'm that guy who has no value. I'm that girl who really has no gifts. So what would you say to those people talking to right to them in the camera?
I want you to go to the bathroom. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to look at the person who's standing there opposite of you. And I want you to take a really, really deep breath and say to that person, you are enough. And I love you just the way you are. And I want you to do that every single day, 4 times a day. How many times a day do we go to the bathroom? Okay, every time you go to the bathroom, look in the mirror, look straight in the eyes of that person and say, you are enough and I love you just the way you are. Because here's the thing, I would love to help everyone, but I can't. People have to begin the journey themselves and they have to want to do it. And the easiest and the best way that I know to give anybody a little bit of a push is to get them to focus on loving themselves first. We cannot move forward in our lives unless we love at least a piece of ourselves. I'm not asking you to love yourself entirely. I'm asking you to love just the person in the mirror that you see, which is only probably, what, from your chest up? That's not even half your body. So make friends with a little bit first. And I promise you, if you do that, 3 or 4 times a day for 30 days, you are not going to believe how much better you feel after the first week, after the first 2 weeks, and after that month. You're not the same person. And I know this because I did it myself.
Yes. And a lot of people listening have been trained and conditioned. Oh, that's pride. That's wrong. That's vanity. No, that's not what Charlene's saying. She's not. And Charlene, you correct me if I'm speaking out of turn. But what Charlene's saying is God loves us. We need to love ourselves as well, respect ourselves, be thankful who God created in us. And if you think pride is just thinking I'm the best, it's not. You need to read the book called The Calvary Road. It taught, or the Bible, but the Bible and The Calvary Road are two great books. And it shows that pride isn't just when we think we're the best. It can be when we think we're the worst or anytime we put us as the center. And what Charlene isn't saying is make us the center of the world. What she's saying is have confidence and to have love for ourselves in a healthy way and to move forward in that confidence so you can achieve what God planned for you to achieve. Is that correct?
That's absolutely what I'm saying, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, because that's something I used to struggle with and I still do at times in different ways. But if you are the person that thinks I can't love myself, that's a lie from the devil. You need to get that out of your head because God loves you and you need to love yourself too. And loving yourself and that confidence is not wrong. That's how God intended it. It's balanced and pure. And if you think you're a piece of trash, that's actually a form of pride. And you need to get that out of your head because thinking you're the best or you're the worst are the same sin.
I spent most of my life being very confident, very, very confident. I wasn't boastful. I wasn't a braggart. And I worked very hard to stay humble, but I was incredibly confident. There was nothing that I ever thought of that I couldn't do. So when I was on the other side of my healing journey and my brain was not nearly as good. I believe that my brain was not nearly as good as what it used to be because I could not argue like the lawyer that I wasn't before. I could always argue and win every argument. Okay. So I thought, oh, that's a pretty good skill. After I finished all my rehab, I couldn't argue the way I used to. I no longer thought the way that I used to. And I thought, oh my God, I'm less than. I've lost a fundamental piece of me and now I'm garbage. I'm worthless. So to go from being highly confident down to I'm a piece of garbage, that was a really hard, weird thing for me to go through. And I'm speaking from personal experience when I say, speak to the person in the mirror and tell that person that he or she is enough and tell that person, you love that person just the way they are. I'm speaking from real hard-won experience because I didn't feel that I felt that I was broken and I didn't feel I'd ever get back to where I was. The truth is, I became more then, and it never even occurred to me that I would ever do that, but I did. And this is why I really stress to anyone who is thinking that you know, they're garbage or they're never going to, or they're worthless. I'm telling you, no, you're not. You are loved. And if you tell yourself you love yourself, and if you tell yourself that you are enough, and if you repeat that to yourself for 30 days, I promise you, your world will definitely, definitely expand. And you'll be able to take all the steps that David was talking about to move yourself forward.
Yeah, and let's move forward with your steps because these are great. So you have to make a decision, set a goal. You have grab your energy from past successes and experiences. 3 is get very clear about what you can and can't do. It's kind of like personal inventory. And then are we ready to move on to step 4 to ask ourselves questions?
Ask ourselves questions. And this is what I call the strategic look of what you want. So the difference between strategy and tactics. Strategy is the bigger picture. What do I want to accomplish? What can I do to accomplish that? And then the tactics are the individual steps that you need to take. So let me just talk in terms of the big piece first. What is it that I want? I want to walk out of here, and I want to walk out of here as fast as I possibly can. So my goal is to be 150% cured, healthy, whatever the word is that you want. Is that realistic? Probably not. The next goal is, okay, let me at least walk out of this hospital. So what can I do about that? Well, I can start by making friends with all the people on my ward. That's a goal within the strategy. I can start by strengthening my body. That's a goal within the strategy. I haven't talked about tactics yet. I haven't told you how I'm going to do it, but you set yourself, here's what I'm going to do. So what I did was I moved from the, if this is what I can do, I can increase my level of activity. I can get more physically fit. I can do a bunch of these silly exercises that just works my brain to death, because my objective, my whole strategy is to get myself healthy enough that I can walk home. Then the next step is, okay, so where am I going to focus? Where am I going to have faith and confidence in all this stuff? So let me just hover between those two. The strategy was I was going to be as nice as I could to the people on my floor. What I actually did was I became Miss Sunshine. And this now goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Now your communication and your personal skills become the massive piece of you. So I went out and I visited every single person on the ward. Now, can I talk particularly well? No, but I can smile, and I've been told I have a lovely smile. So I set myself up that every day I would go and I would have a joke or have a wish to everyone to have a great day or just smile. And some people I could exchange pleasantries with. Other people, I just hold their hand for a minute. But I set myself up that I was Miss Happiness or Miss Sunshine. My roommate, she was in really bad shape. So I set myself up as part of my physical therapy that I could do on my own was I would walk the 10 or 15 feet to the window. I would open up the drapes. They were on her side, not mine. I would help this woman feed herself because we were short staff nurses, and I would brighten up her day. Do you know how much energy I got just by doing those little things? It was amazing. Okay. Now you'd say, well, Charlene, that, you know, you can't do that in business. Yes, you can. So you've decided that you're going to go off and you're going to launch this product, and you know that you don't have all the things that you need, but there are certain things you can do. Great. If you are like personably a personable person, which means basically you get along with a lot of people, you got a nice personality, and you know the difference between moving fast and moving slow, and you treat people with respect, it's going to be incredibly easy for you to decide how you're going to go find the help that you need. It's going to be incredibly easy for you to start looking at your chessboard of your business and setting things up and saying, well, I can't do this until I do this, so let me map it out first. You're not talking tactics at this stage. You're mapping out the basic steps you're going to need. And so if you're going to go and launch a product, probably one of those steps is making sure you got a good marketing plan. Probably one of those steps is making sure that, before we launch this thing, maybe we should do a little bit of research to make sure that we got a market, that we're matching our market with the product, not always something that's always done. Maybe one of the things you need to do is, do we need to go and talk to our financial people to make sure we have enough money? These are not actions yet. These are the steps necessary to make sure the strategy, which is to launch this thing, gets launched. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
So let's take the example of the young fellow or woman who's 20, who's not really sure what they're doing. If let's just say you've got a little bit of self-confidence and a little bit of self-love. Let's just say you can now begin to see the world a little bit differently. What is it that you want to do? Probably you want to go find a job or perhaps go study some more. It doesn't matter which it is, but that's your goal that you've set for yourself. Find a job, go for study. So let's take the find the job thing. A lot of people just say, well, I can't find a job, or I just have to go to McDonald's. Actually, that's not true. There are many jobs that are not highlighted. The reason they're not highlighted, they're not advertised, is because a lot of employers have been totally soured on what they see as negative stuff in the marketplace. But it's called the secret job market. It's been around for like eons and eons, and it will always exist. How do you tap into it? Well, what you want to do is, if you want to find a job, figure out actions to do that. One, talk to everybody you know and say, I'd love to work doing XYZ. Do you know anybody? Two, talk to people that maybe your parents know, or maybe your teachers know. Prep yourself for interviews. Prep yourself for good resume presentation. The usual way of doing resumes is garbage. There are better ways. So get yourself prepping. Well, every one of these things is going to require lots of little actions. I'm not talking about the actions right now. I'm talking about the goals for the strategy of getting a job. Getting a job takes work. Everything takes work. So map out some of the pieces. And if you don't know what the pieces are, ask. There's a million people out here who would love to help you. And nobody thinks you're silly, ridiculous, stupid, dumb, because you're asking. We all have to start somewhere. And as we've gone through the chain, we've actually learned some shortcuts. And here's the thing. Every single one of us is wrapped up in our own lives. We do not think about your problems. We do not think about what you need. The only way to get our attention is to ask. And when you ask us, we go, oh yeah, hey, have you tried this? I'll introduce you to this. It's really simple, but it starts again with the you ask first. Does that make sense, David?
Yes, 100%. And I agree completely. And I was kind of chuckling, like if you saw me smiling, I remember thinking when people would say they're having a baby and they're all excited, okay, I'm happy for you, but I don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm happy for you. That's part of your day. Okay, let's focus on what we have to do. And then when I was 25 and we were having our first child, I was so excited. You just want to tell everybody. And then I realized, dude, people love you, but they don't care. You know, that's not what you're here for. So that actually reminded me of that experience in my life when you said, if you're not asking the questions, you know, people have it, but they're just not thinking of it. They're not in the same space you are at that moment. So throughout human existence, we've all have or will go through the same experiences to a degree, but you might have to say something to trigger their mind, to tap them back into that moment. And then you're going to get a flood of experience that you just can't buy. So
that is right.
Yeah. So I think that's beautiful. And then the other thing is that hidden job market. I didn't know anything. I mean, when you get out of college, you don't know anything. You know book stuff and you know the experiences you've had, but you don't know about the hidden job market, so to speak. And I remember just God put it inside me to be like, well, what company do you want to work for? And where do you want to go? It wasn't like the standard questions. And I ended up having someone come to where I was working and tell me how great their job was. And when I heard it, I actually thought the individual was lying. So I researched the company and the CEO and the COO, and I put back then it was fax machines. You remember fax machines?
Yep.
So I faxed my resume. I called and left a voicemail. Email was out. And I just had the impression, I had the mental state that the guy was either going to hire me or sue me for harassment. So that was how I got my first real job. Like I was blessed with jobs, but that was my first like career step. And I even remember in the interview, I just laughed and smiled exactly what you're saying. And he's like, you know, why should I hire you? You have no experience. And I'm like, cause we're gonna see each other again. This is a great field. It's a great market. The big question is, am I going to be working for you and making you money or your competitor? And the dude just bust out laughing after a moment of shock and he hired me. So what you're saying is going through the traditional resumes and HR people, that is a low success rate. But when you actually hunt for what you want and make that your full-time job and you're prayerfully considering the options, it works.
It absolutely does work. And I want to add something. I think the world has changed in at least the last 30 years. Our parents and our grandparents always believed that, oh, well, you just get one job, you stick with that job forever, and then you retire.
The gold watch days, yes.
Yes, they're long gone.
Oh, 100%.
And also, over the last 30 years, there's been so much consolidation. There's been so many companies that have closed their doors, gone out of business. And what that's done or merged and the downside to all that is so many people have lost their jobs through no fault of their own. And that's a fact of life. It was very hard on all those people who lost their jobs in the very beginning. And even now, it's still hard when you lose your job because your identity is tied up in that. So if you're starting out and you're saying, well, I don't know what company I want to work for. I don't know what I want to do. I'm going to say that's okay. That's just fine. Give yourself 6 to 12 months for every company for the first 5 years, if that's what you want to do. Even do it for the first 10. But because by that point, you're only 30. You've now tried a bunch of stuff. You've seen how things work. Every one of those experiences is going to stack on top of another. And all of a sudden, you're going to come to, oh my God, this is what I should be doing. I love this. And that's when you can make the best decision for you yourself. This whole business about don't job hunt. This whole business about, only stay with one company or two companies or three companies. It's garbage. And I think the young people of today are way smarter than our generation, David, because they grew up with technology. So they're used to going fast. They're used to gathering all kinds of stuff. They're used to Dr. and Professor Google at all times. There are drawbacks to that. However, I think their brains are turned in a different direction than ours were, and they can handle mentally moving from job to job.
Yes, yes. It's a different mindset completely.
Yes.
And the culture, if you looked at my resume and many other people's resume, 15, 20 years ago, they'd be like, you're a job hopper. And I'm like, no, I'm not a job hopper. I went in there. I turned the company around 12 to 18 months. And then I moved on. I left them in great shape and good circumstances. We still have a great relationship. But people just couldn't grasp that you'd go into company, turn around and leave. Now in 2022, they're called consultants, right? And they're hired all the time. So you were ahead of the curve in your day. And then what I was doing what God put in me. I didn't want to stay with a company 20 years. I wanted to go in, fix the problems and leave and do it to the next one, you know, help as many people as I can. And I think what you're saying is the generation that's today, you know, there's things that frustrate the tar out of our generation with their mentality. But a huge advantage is that just that technology and the ability to latch and delatch onto projects and companies. So some of the older generation see that as disloyalty, but
it's not.
If they're there 2 or 3 years, but they're bringing you 2 or 3 years of value and high return on investment, shut up and enjoy it, right? Why? Don't worry about it.
No, I absolutely agree. And I'll make my argument for why communication, why soft skills, why your ability to talk to people, to interact, to understand, why that is so paramount and important these right now, and is going to be over the next 10 to 15 years, is that damn technology thing that's in our hands has really destroyed so many people's ability to carry on a conversation.
Yes.
And so what I see happening is technology has really helped, no question. But what it's done is rob the humans that are coming up of the ability to have a really good conversation, of the ability of the ones that are coming up to actually understand what the other person is saying and thinking. Because texting is not a conversation. Texting is not a relationship. Mm-hmm. To have a relationship, you have to talk, actually physically talk, go through the mental messy business of having human to human contact. And so what I want to stress to all the young people today, that's the area that you want to focus on. That's the area you want to bring up in your life, master in your life, and then you'll be unstoppable because you've already have mastered your technology since you were a baby. Now, master your communication skills. You are going to be in so demand that working for a company 2 to 3 years and then seeing other opportunities, it's just going to come naturally to you. But it's the communication side, it's the personal side, it's the emotional intelligence side, it's the ability to get along with, relate, be respectful of, and you're not bragging, it's not about bragging, it's being respectful of all the differences. You master that piece, you are set for life.
Yes, and I think history proves that. I mean, how many great men and women throughout history didn't necessarily do anything themselves, but they were the catalyst, the visionary. They motivated people. They kept people, you know, on task, and they did it through communication. And, you know, you have the great money families all over the world in every era, and they might not have known that much about their industry, but they hired the right people that did, and it all worked. So yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's like Ronald Reagan. He was one of the greatest communicators of all time, and he was one of the greatest presidents or leaders our country has ever seen. He took interest rates for houses over 30%. Unemployment was through the roof. People were in chaos in every area, and there's complete division within the United States. And through communication and a clear vision, he brought everything together. So I think we need that today. Canada needs that today. And so many countries need that today. But like you said, it starts with ourselves and then our families and then our communities. And through the corporate world, it all works. All truth comes from God. It's all the same foundation.
It is. And what I will say about today's market in particular, we hear about the great resignation. We hear about so many business people saying, well, there's a shortage of labor, the labor's bad, the this, the that. Actually, I don't believe any of that. I believe we're all perfect in our own way. There's not a shortage of labor. There's a shortage of good managers and leaders. And a lot of the managers and leaders of today don't know how to properly communicate, don't know how to properly lead. Again, it's not necessarily their fault. They didn't have good examples growing up. They weren't taught this. But the kids of today, the younger people, anybody who's under 30 has the most amazing opportunity. If you grab all the skills and really, really push yourself to be the absolute best personal version of yourself, the ability to get along with people, the ability to understand people, the ability to be empathetic, the ability to respect. Add those to your technical ability and nothing's going to stop you. You will outshine whatever is in place. Whatever you don't like today, you will outshine whatever's there.
Yeah, it's well said. So with continuing in this, you had steps 1 through 4, and we ended with ask yourself questions, the strategic look of what you want. Is there anything else you want to add to step 4 before we move to step 5, focus?
No. No.
All right. And step 5, focus. Talk to us about focus.
So focus is basically, what will I do? So the best example I can give you in the hospital, what will I do? I am going to work harder than anyone else. I am going to do what I normally do, which is 10 times the work. So for example, what I did was I said to the speech pathologist and the physical therapist and all the other experts, I said, you give me homework. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, I want that homework because what I am going to do is 10 times what anyone else has ever done. And they looked at me and said, but nobody ever does that. And I said, I don't care. Give me the homework. I want the homework and I want exercises and I will do it. And the reason why I really focus in on this particular step is, this is all about the guts that you have inside of you. I believe in business, especially in the early years, you want to do 10 times more than you would normally do. So if you figure, okay, I can make a phone call once a day, I'm going to say make 10, just make 10. If you say you can make 100 phone calls, I'll say, well, first off, I think you're absolutely crazy, but make 1,000, which basically means you now change the way your operation runs. So if you think you can do 100, I believe you can do 10 times that. That's what's going to push you over. If you think you can do 10 calls a day, I'm going to say to you, no, you can't do 100. Why? Because the best of the best never do the basics. The best of the best do it to 10 times. If you ask any athlete about how much they train, they don't train an hour a day. They train 12 hours a day. They may take time off to have a nap. They may take time off to eat. They may take time to do other bits within their curriculum. But no athlete that's going to make it and get an Olympic gold, no athlete that's going to be a world champion ever dies 1, 2, and 3 times. They do it 10. It's always the power of 10. And I'm not suggesting you do the power of 10 for your entire life, because none of us can sustain that stuff. I'm suggesting that there are going to be periods in your life where you want to go play flat out. And that's what I did. And that was the absolute secret to everything that I've ever done. There are periods, and you will learn, you do get smart. There are periods when you're going to play flat out. So let's take one quick example. You want to go get a job. Okay, you've made it. I'm going to get a job. Great. What are you going to do? What are you going to focus on? Well, that means I'm going to give up playing with my friends for a while. It means I'm going to spend 5 hours a day and I'm only going to look for a job. It means I'm going to be so focused, I'm going to get that damn job in the shortest time frame possible, because really that's what it's about. In business, it's having faith and confidence exactly the same way you have faith and confidence in yourself. It's having faith and confidence that the processes you have in place, that the people you have hired and that are in place, and that the ideas and the plans that you've got in place are going to work. It's all about, yes, I'm at that stage. I believe in myself. This is how I'm going to do it. It's a big leap when you believe in yourself. It's a big, big leap when you believe in your team. It's a big leap the first time and the second time. It's not a big leap after you do it 3, 4, and 5 times. And after you've done it 10 times, it's nothing. It's the way you function. Does that make sense, David?
Yes, totally. You know, you play how you practice, and the more you practice, the easier it gets and second nature. So that makes total sense. So, go ahead.
I don't want to suggest to anyone that you play your life flat out like that 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. That is a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
I am saying you only do it for short periods of time.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree.
I don't want
more.
Anyone killing themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, burnout's real. We actually just had a guest on the show, Sharon Grossman, and her whole expertise was burnout. And I've personally experienced myself. I'm sure you have too. I mean,
me too.
Even if you didn't, it could have been burnout that led your body to be a little bit weaker, that allowed that horrible parasite to get inside of you. I mean, but the thing is, like what you're saying is, there's seasons of everything. There's seasons, yep, where we rest, there's seasons where we kill it. But if you're always on that high speed kill it mode, you're going to run out of fuel. And you need to be careful.
You are. Yes, absolutely. So now that we've taken up to 5, the last level is the hardest level. It's the level of action. And you know what? Everyone has ideas, and ideas are worth a dime a dozen until we all do that one thing, which is called execute. Take action. Now, here's the other thing. You can take 2 steps and you have taken action, but 2 steps is never enough. And the journey is never as fast as we want. It's always longer. And so what happens is, taking action means doing the same thing and sticking to the plans and taking the same tactics every single day, day in and day out, and you get bored with it. It's enough to numb the brain. It's enough to say, oh my God, is this ever going to take effect? And in the hospital, I spent 2 whole months doing the same boring stuff every single day. And I was frustrated because this is the piece where it's, you're now going to find out if you're as solid and strong as you've been thinking you are. This is the piece where basically the rubber meets the road. You've got to put in the time. You've got to do the work. And the work is boring. It's not fun. You've had all the fun stuff. Now it's time to deliver. And the awful thing is, no one can tell you ever how long it's going to take. It's going to take as long as it's going to take. For me, it took 2 months. Two awful long months. But then things moved. And here's what happens. The minute things start to move, you go down to level two. Oh my God, you grab all that energy because you can feel it working. And that propels you forward to keep rising back up to level six, to keep on going. So what does that mean for a 20-year-old? It means you're going out and doing those interviews and you're getting bloody good at those interviews. You're getting really close to those interviews. And then all of a sudden one day you get three offers on the same day and you're going, oh my God, how can I possibly be in this situation? But the reason you're in that situation is because you never gave up. And that's the key. You kept plotting, you stuck to the plan, you didn't deviate, you said, I'm going to do this, here's how I'm going to do it, and you stayed with it. For a business, what does that mean? Generally, in the first 5 to 10 years of a business life, it's really hard because the referrals don't come nearly as fast as you'd like because the cash flow runs out faster than you can keep coming in. It doesn't matter. You eat peanut butter and wieners for dinner because you believe so much in your idea, because you know you've got the goods that this is going to work. After you hit 10 years, now it's ramping it up. You've got a plan in place and it's really boring. Why? Because you're going around saying the same thing 20 different times a day to 50 different groups of people. And it's all boring. And you're thinking, man, I have said this a million times, and you have, but you haven't said it to a million audiences. And that's the key. So you keep at it and you don't deviate, or you analyze it after you've been at it for at least 6 to 9 months. And then you make changes. But what really gets in everybody's way is they change things after a couple of days, or they change things after a couple of weeks, or they change things after a month or two, or they get distracted with some other really amazing idea that I call a shiny object that just came blowing in and, oh, well, that might work too. And that causes, one, distraction, and two, puts us way behind the eight ball. And I don't want anyone to be behind the eight ball. I want you to keep motoring from level six to level two, level six to level two. Bring that energy up, gives you the impetus to move back into level six and keep at it. And I promise you, I've seen this time and time again, and I am walking proof of this. If you do these six levels, decisions, energy, clarity, questions or strategic, focus, have faith and confidence, and take action, you will get what you want or something better. It never, ever, ever is not what you wanted.
That's fantastic. And when I'm listening to this episode, we've been hanging out, we've been enjoying the conversation and talking. Normally, we share the guest's entire story, and then as we go through, they pull out nuggets that we can apply to our lives. In this, I feel like we blew past your story and jumped right into meet the six levels of getting what you want out of life or something better. So before we come to the point, Charlene, of this is where you are today and where you're going. You've just helped us for over an hour. Two questions I have for you. Number one, is there anything we missed in your life history that's significant or that you want to cover? And then the second question is, and it may tie into this, is you went from childhood to become a successful executive of businesses. What happened in that interim? You know, how did you get there? So the first thing is there anything we missed that you want to share? And the second is, between your childhood and becoming an executive, what did you do to prepare yourself, or what happened in your life to prepare you for that type of leadership?
So to the first question, no, I think I've filled in all the bits. I'll just end that segment with, nothing ever happens to us. Everything happens for us. That may mean we have more lessons to learn. That may mean we have to grow a bit more to become the person that we want. And that may mean that we have a few years before we learn what exactly it was that we gained from it. But absolutely nothing happens to us. Absolutely everything happens for us. So
that's powerful and true. And if you've never heard that before, pause this episode and really meditate on that. That's super powerful truth right there.
So how did I get from where I am, where I was, okay. I didn't have any real clear-cut goals of what I wanted to do in life. I was born a bossy girl. I was always the one who came up with ideas and said, okay, guys, we're going to take this mountain. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. I thought I wanted to become a teacher. I thought I wanted to become a pharmacist. I thought I wanted to maybe be a firefighter. I thought I wanted to join the army, but it was all thinking. I had no real ideas. My parents split when I was 18. So, and my father told me one day, well, you wanted a university education, too bad, so sad. My retirement fund is better. I'm taking the money that would have gone to your university fund and I'm putting it to my retirement. So that meant I had to go out and get a job and figure out what I wanted to do. I started out as a secretary. Inside of 3 months, the fellow that I was working for said, you are too smart for to be a secretary. Have you ever thought about becoming an accountant? Nope. Okay, well, here's a program that you can learn how to become an accountant at night and you can work during the day. So I said, okay, why not? I was engaged to be married. I didn't really want to marry him. So that was a great excuse. I was going to be just too busy to get married. It turns out finance didn't really turn me on. I really didn't like it too much, but I figured out a way to make it work for me. I went through 1, 2, 3 different jobs. They didn't last that long. Moving along to make more money. That's what motivated me. So what did I want? I knew I was being underpaid. So I was always looking for the next financial job that would pay me more. Then when I decided I couldn't make it in a small town of 10,000 and I made the leap and I said, okay, where do I want to work? I have no idea. I didn't know what companies were there, but I saw an ad for a beer company and I liked a particular beer, but I preferred wine, but okay, we'll try this. I sent my resume in. They called me. Then they dragged their heels. So I didn't know any better. So I kept calling. I kept leaving messages exactly like you did, David, like what's going on? I'm really interested. Wanna do this, blah, blah, blah. So it was 10 phone calls to the HR people. HR people are not where you want to go. Trust me, they are just not.
I know. But and finally, I don't want to speak bad about HR people, but I'm with you. In real life, there are exceptional HR people, but I hate to say it, they're far and few between.
Yes.
Usually HR people are all like, they just don't get things done. The sales manager, for instance, will end up saying, hey, hire this person. They're like, okay. So what the hell was that 4 months for interviewing people? So yeah, I'm not saying all HR people are like that, but the majority of ones I met in real life, it was like for job hiring. It's just, to me, it was a useless endeavor. Now for other aspects of the organization, HR is crucial, but for hiring and firing, they just aren't wired for that, in my opinion. And Charlene, I think you have the same opinion from what you said.
But I do want to make one point though. One job that so if you ever ask me, well, how did you get from this job to this job to this job? Here's how talking to people work. One day I was at the doctor's office. Doctor's office says to me, so what are you doing? I'm looking for a new job. What are you looking for? Well, I'd like to be in an accounting position, and I'm currently in a CPA firm, and I want to get a bigger seat. I know so-and-so. I will call so-and-so for you. And that's how I got my interview, was just talking to my doctor. That was it. Okay, maybe not everybody has a doctor. Maybe everybody is not comfortable talking to the doctor. I was comfortable talking. That's how I got my one job, from one to the other. Then I took a leap and I said, okay, I'm going to apply to this job ad. That was not a good move. But what happened was I finally got in, and I got in. Rock bottom intern position. I didn't like it, but I sucked it up and I said, I am going to the top one day. I got to pay my dues. I'm going to do this right now. That's how you have to change your mindset sometimes and say, okay, I'm just going to bite the bullet and I'm going to go do it. Then after that, it just became people notice the smart people. People notice the people who are really good at getting along with people. People also notice people who will save their bacon. Here's a piece of advice that's not often given out. Your job is not only to learn, your job is to make your team and your boss look good.
Good. Yep, 100%. People don't get that. They want the credit. And it's like, this is what we need to do. Let's just get it done. Forget who gets the credit. I'm totally tracking with you.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do. You're not sucking up to somebody. You're fulfilling 10 times. And if 10 times scares you, then just do 3 times. You want to do more than what's expected of you. Because if you do more than what's expected of you, that's how you get attention. And if you do that in a smart way and you make friends along the way, making friends, that doesn't mean going out and having a beer. Making friends means having people respect you. Not about liking you. You want to be respected. And the best way to get respect is to show empathy, to show compassion, to show kindness, and to show respect. So anyways, the timing was perfect because I had jumped into this beer company, found out that I didn't really like beer, but the organization had an international division that it was trying to grow. And that's where from then on, once I moved into the international division and I had gone from being the scumbag auditor to the really smart analyst, then I could become whatever the next step was. I don't know, manager of something or other, whatever. That's when it started and I just took off. So from 20 to 25, I paid my dues. Really, I really paid my dues. And then from 25 onwards, it was like, okay, we're getting serious and we're going to do absolutely everything we can. I stood on the shoulders of giants who went before me. What that means is a lot of smart people went ahead of me and they were still there. I never, ever, ever to their face, behind their back, talked bad about anybody. This is very important because when you're young, especially when you're under 35, you got to acknowledge the fact that you don't know everything. Even under 40, you don't know everything. I didn't come into my own until I was in my 40s. I think most of us come into our own when we're in our 40s. I've always believed you need 20 years of experience underneath you before you become the best. You start to become the best version of yourself. So the best advice I can give you, anyone looking for a job, don't badmouth anybody. It's not worth it. It just isn't worth it. Respect everybody. Don't roll over. Be assertive. Don't be aggressive. And be open to when those weird things come out and somebody says, well, how about you take this job? And it's not a direct up and job. It's not a direct
vertical versus lateral. It's a lateral move, not a vertical move. Don't be afraid of those.
Don't be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. So that's how I got to be where I was. It wasn't because I was born on the right side of the tracks. It wasn't because I was born with a silver spoon on my mouth. I had to work twice as hard and five times as hard as any male, because that's what it was like. I didn't get special treatment. I stood on my own two feet, but I proved my worth. And that's the thing. Prove your worth. And I think we've given you the tools. You already have the tech. If you upgrade and stay up to date with your personal skills, and then put a little bit of time into working on your mindset, you're unstoppable.
Yeah. And I want to, can you add, before we wrap this episode up, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, it goes back to loving yourself and seeing value in yourself. Talk about the importance of knowing your value. Again, not being arrogant, not being prideful, not leveraging it and thinking I'm the best and you can't live without me. But talk about the importance of really understanding your value in the organization and what that means for vertical movement.
Vertical movements are not nearly as fast and as easy as we would like to believe. Vertical movements require us to learn a lot. What you're learning is how to fit with an organization. What you're learning is the best practices that organization has. What you're learning is to see how people interact, to watch the blow-ups, to watch the mess-ups, to watch the celebrations, and integrate the best of it. You don't integrate the worst of it. I feel sorry for a lot of the tech startups and the younger startups that are coming through, because people are going in and they don't have a background of, here's how a company works. Here's how a venture capital works. Here's how bankers work. Here's how people work. And people are the messiest bit of any organization. People, messy. Managing people, 100%. Leading people, it's all messy. So you're going to come into an organization and you're going to have a whole pile of technical skills. So I don't care, choose your discipline. You're a lawyer, you're an architect, you're an accountant, you're a plumber, I don't care what it is. You're trained in the technical aspects of whatever it is that you paid money for. You were never, ever, ever, not once trained on how to manage messy people. And everybody's messy. Why are they messy? Because everybody has lives, and we bring our lives to our business. Even though we're not supposed to, we're supposed to leave it at the door, we bring it with us. And nobody wants to be told they're wrong. Nobody wants to be given extra work that someone else didn't get. Nobody wants to be left out of the loop. Nobody wants to be disrespected. Everybody wants happiness. Everybody wants joy. Sure, there's a few people that are less than ideal, but most people are decent, hardworking, salt of the earth, very kind, give you the shirt off their back kinds of people. And what we really, really need to learn in all that chunk of time is how to manage a whole pile of different situations that come at you. It's how to manage the situations that arise from people. It when they have meltdowns, when they don't work, it's how to manage when your profits aren't right. It's how to manage when you have to fire people. It's how to manage how to hire people. All that stuff is messy and it can't be learned in a day or a week or a month or a year. It takes time. And I think it's a mistake to be in a rush to learn it all. Because honestly, I'm still learning. So if I'm still learning and you're 20 years old, I'm not stupid. I've never been stupid in my life. You're not stupid. It just takes time. So be patient.
Yes. And I absolutely agree with that. And you cannot buy experience and you cannot learn experience. So I'm totally tracking with you there. But for the person who's 40, 45, 50 years old, and they're within an organization, talk about the importance of them really understanding their value, because they have put the time in, they have the experience, they have become the expert. So where's that balance between being confident and knowing your value and the idiots who think they're irreplaceable?
Well, I have a couple of things. I quit two jobs because I knew that my values did not match the company's values. I knew that I had become so good at playing the game, I had lost myself. When you realize that your values are standing so strong and they're not in alignment with the organization that you're working for, leave it. Consider going out on your own or consider going to work with another company that whose values align closer to yours. I cannot stress that one enough. The second one is, even though you've arrived and even though you're well respected, I really hope that as you climbed that ladder, you were nice to everybody as you went up the ladder, because it took a long time to climb to the top. It will take seconds to climb to fall to the bottom. And honestly, the reason why people love you, the reason why people pay attention to you, the reason why people respect you is because of your title. If you are not a decent human being, simultaneously, when you fall, no one is going to help you. But if you are a decent human being, everyone will bend over backwards for you because they see your value. You've shared your value. You've inspired them to raise their value with you. That's what you want. That's what all good leaders, I believe, should be focused on, is raising the people that they work with up and working themselves out of a job. If you do that, you've elevated everyone. When you fall, when you lose your job, when something happens that life is throwing you a curve, you will not believe who comes through for you. And if you have, let's just take round numbers. If you've got 150 people that you're constantly working with, I can promise you five, 10, if you're really lucky, will keep tabs on you after you've left. It's just the way it is. Your value is tied up in your worth as a person. And I think we can all agree that none of us have time. None of us have respect for idiots who are full of themselves. I call it, how big is your ego? Can you get through that door? If you can't get through the door, definitely a problem. If people see your ego before they see you, you don't have any worth. But if people see you and then see your ego, you have a lot of worth. And I'm not saying you can't have an ego. I'm not saying you can't be proud. And I'm not saying you can't blow your own horn occasionally. You just don't let it out very often.
Well, you've given our community, myself included, some great advice today, some great, absolutely applicable steps they can take to further their career, to further benefit their life. So with that, Charlene, where are you today and where are you heading next? So maybe we can help you get there.
I'm still morphing. I'm still helping companies. I'm helping business owners be the best they can be and helping them take their businesses up the notches that they want. Here's what happened. I never lost my smarts on how to take a company, just grow it 100 times. I never lost that. I never lost the ability to look at a situation and say, oh, just put those two things together and you'll get over here. I never lost all that, thank God. I gained the ability of deep listening. I used to be a good listener. I was respected as being a good listener. But when you can't talk, you learn to figure out the most important things that you need to say, and you end up paying much more close attention to the other person. So notwithstanding this interview today, I actually listen more than I talk. That has been a great gift that I never thought I would be able to say. And so what that means is I can listen very carefully to you and size you up very carefully to determine if what you're saying is actually what you want. And I can turn you then from, okay, if what you want is this, then let's get you sized up, to delivering that with what your gifts are. Apparently, I've been told I take a more holistic viewpoint now of business, because I believe that business starts with the guts of the person inside. So that means that there's some work, as we've been discussing today, there is a little bit of work that has to go on to make sure that you're ready to step into who you want to be. The easy part is mapping out how to get there. The hard part, as we discussed, was the action. So I help you stay accountable to your plans. And I refuse now to work with anyone who just wants to make a lot of money and buy a second house, a cottage, a boat, an airplane. Like, I've been there, I've done that. And I'll tell you something, the biggest deal I ever did for someone was 50 million. I added 50 million to them, which sounds fabulous, I guess, but it didn't change him personally.
Yeah.
Money does not change us. If we are selfish, we will always be selfish no matter how much money we have. If we are generous, we will always be generous no matter how much money we have. So I now am very careful to work with people that are not selfish, that with people who want to make a bigger impact in the world, with people who want to do the right thing with their employees. Those are my favorites. My absolute favorites are, if you're not from this country, Canada, or the US, I will help you figure out and decode what it means to be a quick success. And a quick success to me is 5 years. I know so many immigrants who have landed and it's taken them 10 years and 15 years to get their business. I can accelerate all that. Why? Because I've lived here all my life. I know how these things work, and there's nobody that wants to share that welcomely with immigrants. So I'll help you. I also help younger people. If you're just starting up your new tech company, you've got the money, but you actually never run anything, you need to have a mentor in your back pocket. That's me. I worry about your head and I worry about your business.
Awesome. Now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, Charlene, what's the best way for them to reach you?
LinkedIn. Okay. Absolute best way. I play on LinkedIn. I don't play on Facebook. I don't do much on, I do nothing on Instagram. I have a WhatsApp. I don't know how to use it. But LinkedIn is my place. I'm there every single day. And I have a reputation for getting back very quickly.
Awesome. And I'll put a link to your LinkedIn in the show notes and all your other connections, even though you don't use them as much or as well, I will put those in there. So if you're listening and you want to talk to Charlene and you have any questions, please reach out to her. And Charlene, is there any kind of like, you know, a lot of our guests, they might have a special or a book or any kind of link you want to share or promote at this?
I'm working on my second book, so I'm not going to promote that. What I do have is a takeaway of what we talked about in the, what I call the six steps of the winning mindset. So I actually have something that you can look at, hold in your hands, and re-listen to this interview as many times as you want and say, oh yeah, right, that's what she's talking about. Oh, that's what that means. And I just find that it's easy to have in your hands to read and listen at the same time. It just reinforces it. I've got a link, I believe, doesn't cost you anything except your email address. And I promise you it's good stuff.
Awesome. So we'll put a link to that in. Thank you for offering that free to our community. And Charlene, it's been great hanging out with you today. You truly are a remarkable woman, and I look forward to continuing the friendship. Before we part, for our listeners, just remember, don't just listen to the great content Charlene shared with us today. Like our slogan says, listen to it, do it, repeat the good parts each day so you can have a great life in this world and an eternity to come. So Charlene, thank you again for being here so much. It's been a true pleasure.
It's been my absolute pleasure, sir. My absolute pleasure.
Awesome. So thank you again, Charlene. And to our listeners, we love you. Reach out to us. Please like, share, rate, review this podcast. But more than anything, apply it for your own benefit. Share it with your friends and family so we can all grow and glorify God. I'm David Pasqualone. This was Charlene Norman. And we look forward to seeing you in another episode. Ciao.
The Remarkable People Podcast. Check it out. The Remarkable People Podcast. Listen, do, repeat. For life.